Let me tell you a story about how Rachel's mom and myself were supposed to spend Christmas in Prague and Budapest, and instead, we mostly gotten there, but we had a little bit of an interruption. Rachel was flying separate from her mom and I just due to some miles and points things, and Rachel's mom and I made it to Prague uneventfully, and Rachel got waylaid by weather in Amsterdam with canceled flights and got stuck in Amsterdam for 2 days. During the first day that Rachel's mom and I were in Prague, we also inadvertently got wrapped up into the largest mass shooting in European history.
I don't know about European history, but...
I think that's what your mom said in the news.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Certainly Prague's.
So maybe it's not entirely, but anyways, it was pretty big. A lot of unfortunate people lost their lives and have had their Christmases totally ruined. And, you know, we've still been privileged enough to be here. The bit of a challenge for us was that we were right on the edge of the incident while it was happening. We ended up inside the lockdown zone. So we were inside of a cafe for about an hour waiting for the all clear from police. And then the apartment we were trying to check into was right next door and was well inside the police line. So we spent about 8 hours trying to wander around the city to kill time before checking into our apartment, and then another 5 hours waiting to see if we needed to find another place to sleep. Fortunately, the hotel company that we went with was wonderful, found us a new place, and in the end, at least for our trip, everything has come together, and we were able to move on.
So, welcome to Rain It In. I'm Rachel, and that was Matt telling you a story about how we got here. So this is a podcast with two married nerds talking travel and food and lately sad stories to begin our podcasts.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure this one out, this format. Maybe this format's not the right format. Let us know.
But I think the format's fine. I just think we have, I don't know. There was some sad stuff that happened. Like,
yeah.
We can't talk about Prague this trip without talking about the shooting. We're not going to talk about it a lot, but it happened, yeah. And it definitely impacted us.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think initially my thought was, the let me tell you a story, was about how you and I came here 10 years ago and how we, you know, did a lot of things. And we were here for about the same amount of time.
Longer.
Was it longer? Maybe it was 7 days or something?
Yeah.
And we've eaten a lot of similar food. We've drinking a lot of similar beers. The city has changed a bit, but maybe not as dramatically as it could in 10 years.
Yeah, I think it seems relatively similar. I mean, and we can talk more in the second part about, you know, sort of distinctions and differences that we've noticed.
Yeah, right.
So we'll take a break and we'll come back and tell you about travel challenges and about Prague.
So I should also add, it's actually Christmas, which is the second time we've done Christmas outside the United States.
Yeah, with my mom.
Yeah.
6 years ago, we were in
South America.
South America.
Argentina specifically at the time. It's a little weird to be traveling during Christmas because it sort of just throws off your whole routine, but it's also...
It's nice. I mean, here it actually feels like Christmas very much. Like when we were at Nawazu Falls, it felt like, I mean, we were in the jungle, not like Amazon adventurers or anything, but we just spent Christmas looking at these waterfalls in the jungle. Yeah. And it's summer. Warm. Yeah. And it's hot. And like,
yeah.
You know, it didn't feel at all Christmassy. Whereas here, everything feels very... very Christmassy.
Yeah. Well, we are here for the Christmas markets.
Yeah, exactly.
So Rachel's mom earlier this year suggested that she wanted to come see the Christmas market. She was hoping to come last year. Complications didn't happen, and she wanted to still do it. And so we thought it would be an awesome opportunity for us all to come. Mm-hmm. We have seen some Christmas markets. We'll talk to you about those in the second half. But for the first half, you got stranded in Amsterdam for 2 days, but Amsterdam is one of your favorite cities.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there are many worse places to get stranded. So I got to Amsterdam and I had a 3-hour layover before my flight to Prague was supposed to leave. Coming into Amsterdam, we were slowed down, you know, we had to circle a fair amount. And they were, you know, I'd gotten alerts about weather and stuff, but I wasn't really super worried about it. We landed and I, you know, looked up flights, and the flight before mine was canceled and the flight after mine was canceled. Mine was still supposedly going out. Mm-hmm. So I was there in the lounge for about an hour, and then...
And it gave all those other people on all those other flights an opportunity to rebook before you knew you had to rebook, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. So yeah, after I was there for about an hour, then my flight was also canceled. So, which I was kind of anticipating, and I knew it was going to be a mess, and I knew the weather was supposed to be bad the second day, the next day. So I sort of just accepted the fact that I wasn't going to get out until Saturday, at that point, and which is, yeah, exactly what happened. So I worked with Delta over like chat, and they were really kind of like, have you tried to talk to a gate agent? And I was like, no, like, you know, I'm in this lounge and I don't want to leave. Not necessarily I don't want to leave, but
yeah.
I'm in this lounge and, like, you know, certainly I wasn't at my gate, right? And so once I got a flight kind of settled, I was like, okay, well, maybe I will go check in with, you know, someone from KLM and just see what they have to say. And I walked out, and the block to talk to the representatives was the block. The line to talk to the representatives was at least several blocks long. And so I was like, okay, well, never mind. I know I'm on a flight. You know, it's fine. I don't think I'm going to get on anything sooner. Even if I got on something on Friday, the weather's supposed to be bad. So it might get canceled. And then who knows, you know, what'll happen.
How did you choose the place that you decided to stay at? Because they didn't hook you up.
No, no, because it was weather related. I did have to pay for lodging, and I had to buy clothes because my suitcase was not with me. So that was a little bit annoying. Mm-hmm. I went to booking.com, which is what I've been using often lately. I looked for places that were highly rated.
Not sponsored.
Yeah, not sponsored. I looked for places that were highly rated and that seemed like within my budget, and found one that I loved. It was great. It was really, really nice. Mr. Jordan with two A's hotel. Great neighborhood. It's just near the Anne Frank Museum. So it's on that kind of west side of the city. Like easy to get to from the train station. It was like a 20-minute walk. I mean, it was raining for part of that, which was not my favorite, but it was still easy to get to. And it was a tiny, tiny room, but that's all I needed as a solo traveler.
Yeah,
it had everything I needed. It had a little desk and chair, and, you know, closet, nice bathroom, tiny bed. It was just incredibly compact. So, but I do really recommend it. Nice breakfast. If you're in Amsterdam, they have bigger rooms too, but if you're in Amsterdam, especially if you're there as a solo traveler, I would check it out because it was only around $100 a night, which is not bad.
And it was in the heart.
Yeah, and it was in the heart. And it was, clean, super friendly, like just really, really pleasant.
Because I think that's an easy walk from the main train station there too. Mm-hmm. So if you were coming in or going somewhere else, yeah, you could easily lug a bag.
Yeah, or you could take a tram. You know, to closer to where it was. I just decided to walk, A, because it was a little bit rainy and so the trams were super crowded and I was just like, eh, and B, I just like walking around Amsterdam. So I was like, even though the weather's crappy, I'm still just gonna walk. And that worked out well because I, you know, ended up stopping to buy a bottle of wine. And while I was there, I asked the lady who was working there or running or owning the shop where I could buy cheap clothes, you know, I didn't have any. And so she gave me directions, to a shopping area where I went to a Uniqlo and bought, you know, a couple days worth of clothes. And that was convenient because you could buy everything, you know, underwear and all of your, everything in one place. So I didn't have to go to multiple shops, which I definitely was not.
Did you take the train from the airport too?
I did take the train from the airport to the main train station. Yeah. On my way out, I took a Bolt, which is like Uber, because it was 4 a.m. when I left.
Yeah. So, yeah, you did a little bit of tourism while you were there. We were definitely sad to not have you here, worried of whether it was going to come or whether you were going to make it, because even the night before you had to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I woke up at 2:45. I got another alert saying that the weather was going to be bad the next day. And yeah.
And they were already canceling flights in the afternoon, mm-hmm. right? And then it turned out there was a bomb threat at the Prague airport that yep. afternoon, too. So fortunately, you got up super early and you made it here.
I did. And I was very, very tired, but in retrospect, very happy because if I had come in later in the afternoon, my flight would have been canceled again because of the bomb threat. So yeah. I did have to fly to Belgium. And then to Prague. My flight to Belgium was 25 minutes long. I got bumped to first class for my 20-minute flight.
Yeah.
And so I got a very nice, like, little thing of juice that not everybody got, and yeah. a cookie. So, you know,
I guess
it was worth it.
Status matters.
But also,
I'm going to interrupt yeah. for last time we talked about favorite and least favorite airports.
Mm-hmm.
We've both been to two new airports this time.
Yeah, Belgium is way down there. Amsterdam's airport is fine. Belgium?
Yeah, I actually...
Not fine.
I feel strangely connected to Amsterdam's airport now because when last year when I was coming back from India and I was not feeling well at all, and I'd been traveling for
already probably like 20
weeks.
Hours. Yeah.
Well, I'd been left the U.S. 5 weeks earlier, mm-hmm. and yeah, I'd already been traveling for well more than 20 hours. And I got off the Amsterdam airport, and it just smelled familiar to me. I think I talked about this on another podcast, and I was like, "Okay, I can do this. I only have one more leg." I had access to the KLM lounge there, which is the best lounge I've ever been to by far.
I did not have access to that lounge, which was sad. But there's a access lounge, I think is what it's called, or maybe Ascent. Maybe it's Ascent. That was only $30 to get into, and you pre-booked. And so that was worth it. It was not an amazing lounge, but it was a nice place to regroup when my flight was canceled.
But what was weird about Belgium? The Belgian airport.
Oh, my God. The Belgian airport was just weird. So I've never seen anything like it, but the gate that I went to, and part of this might be because I was on a smaller flight, but the gate that I went to had no electronic signs, no people at it, no nothing. There was just a door that you went through, and then there were two printed signs, one that said priority and one that said, you know, not priority or regular or whatever. So you walk down this long hallway.
But we're also trained to not go through doors until someone opens a door for you.
Right, exactly. So there was just a bunch of people milling around. Yeah. And then slowly people just sort of started wandering through this door. So I wandered through the door. And then after we got through the door and through this long line, which was separated by like a metal railing, then we got to the place where the staff was and the signs were and like the electronic information and that sort of stuff. So it was like totally inaccessible until, I don't know, some mystery point when the door must have opened. I wasn't there when the door opened because I had been resting upstairs because there were more chairs up there and a very aggressive vacuumer.
Yeah, you said it was like making people
move their feet. So, yeah, it was just so bizarre. And then we had to walk a really long way to get to our plane. Like, I've walked to get to planes a lot, right? Like, it happens when you fly into small airports. But this was, like, multiple blocks of walking.
You're probably walking back to the Netherlands.
Close. I mean, and then they boarded the flight from the front and the back, but they didn't separate us out by seats. And so it was just pure chaos.
Yeah. But you made it.
I did.
It worked out.
Yep.
And also, this not sponsored, but a huge shout out to Tile or AirTags or any of those things.
Yeah. Last year when we were traveling to Sweden and Amsterdam, there was all this stuff in the news around Christmas where like you could see just like these bags were getting lost everywhere, right? And you could just see these pictures of European airports, like Heathrow and these places with just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bags sitting there. And I was like, I'm going to buy some tags, right? So you can get AirTags or you can get the ones that I got are called Tile. And so I have one in my suitcase and I checked the day before I left Amsterdam, and it said my suitcase was already in Prague. And I was like, okay, cool. It's got a GPS, you know, and I could see where it was in Prague, right? It was in the airport, not, you know, I don't know, some random place. So I got to Prague, and I went to the left, or to the lost luggage counter, and they were like, oh, it was supposed to come yesterday, but the weather was bad, so I think it's, so it's still in Amsterdam. And I was like, it's not, I know it's here. Like, I can, you know, see it on my app. And so I made it make noise, as it is supposed to do, and I found my bag.
So you found it? Was it, like, in a pile, or you did it and they found it, like, in the back somewhere or something?
No,
like
that? it was in one of those seas of luggage.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, So yeah, I was super grateful to have that, because if I didn't know that my luggage was in Prague, I would have assumed that it was in Amsterdam. It was not doing anything in the Delta system. You know, I had checked because I still had my tag number. I don't know when it would have made its way to me.
Yeah.
But I was really grateful that, you know, it was quick to get it. And, you know, I made it to the apartment that we're in with my bag in a relatively reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. And so while Rachel was in Amsterdam, also getting rained on, Rachel's mom and I were running around. I don't know why I'm not using mom's name. I think
Vicky.
Okay, fine. I wasn't sure if we were going to or not. So anyways, we were with Vicky and I were just running around Prague a bit. But, you know, the first half day we were here was all just trying to get into our apartment and waiting and not knowing what the hell was going on. And second day, fortunately, everything was back open again so we could access it. The apartment people were really pretty nice. I called them at one point and was like, so we can't get to the entrance of the place to check in. And he was like, well, we got notification that there's an all clear, so you might just need to wait a little while. And then a little while was a few hours. And then they called you, right?
Because to ask when I was checking in,
Yeah.
And my response was, what country are you calling from? Because I was like really confused because I had checked into my hotel not very long before that, maybe like 15 minutes. And I was just like,
oh, wasn't sure,
jet lagged and confused. And I was like, are you calling from the Netherlands? Are you calling from, Czech Republic? What's going on? But we got it straightened out.
Yeah.
Pretty
but
quickly.
They hooked us up with a second apartment to stay in. That was like 6 minutes from this place that we're in currently. And we were sort of halfway there. So it was literally 2 minutes from where we were. We were just hanging out, getting a coffee, killing time.
And like we talked about, you know, in the last one about Philadelphia, like this is a similar thing to Sonder or Central or any of those other ones that I've talked about, right? It's just called Edrez, A-D-R-E-Z apartments. And yeah, there's a few buildings that are tourist apartments, but they don't have daily housekeeping and they don't have reception, right? So yeah, you do have to kind of navigate things a little bit differently.
Yeah. But you know, they're a professional setup. You've got like an app that now you can download an app. You don't need to download an app. That you have like an electronic key basically that you can use, or you can use a code. It feels safe. It feels nice. Mm-hmm. So, but, our first full day here, we were just shuttling from the other place to this place, which wasn't that hard, but, you know, and we don't have a lot of luggage, but it's just, you know, it's enough. We got two small roller bags and two backpacks, effectively.
And it's hard to roll a bag in Prague.
Yeah, there's a lot of cobblestones.
Yeah, the streets are not flat.
And then we checked in, and we were just relieved to be checked in. Mm-hmm. And we kind of spent a lot of that first day just being a little, I wouldn't say zombies, I mean a little bit of jet lag, but it's just kind of emotional lag from emotionally hung over from everything, just seeing how sad it was, how many people were killed, and kind of realizing that we were around the corner from all this stuff that was happening. You know, I never felt like we were unsafe. There was a bunch of people just like standing around outside because I think everybody was really confused. And then I'm very certain that I heard gunfire happening, or what I at the time I was like, I think that's gunfire, I thought to myself, and did not worry your mom too much. I was just like, hey, we're standing in front of this cafe. Let's just go into the cafe. So we went in, and we got some coffees, and we got some, like, probiotic sodas and a carrot cake. And then while we were sitting down, it became a little more clear that was going on. But it was nice because then the proprietor at the coffee shop was not an Amsterdam coffee shop, but actually a cafe.
Right.
was sort of keeping us in the loop. She spoke English, and she was like, okay, we've got the initial all clear that they think everything's done, but they're doing a sweep of the area, so it's going to be a little while longer. So it was kind of nice. We had a little bit of communication mm-hmm. with someone who could kind of help us what was going on. Everybody was obviously very curious and interested about what was going on. But then we put the newspaper together like 2 days later, the timeline, and we were on the street when everything happened, like a block and a half from it when everything happened. We were a block away when the police hustled us down a side street, and our apartment is like half a block from from the whole thing. So we were a lot closer than we realized. And like timing wise, they said like he was on the roof and shooting at like 2:14 or something like that. And your mom had taken a picture of the street with all the abandoned cars in it at 3:10.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, but then we stood around for a little while, and that's when I was like, why don't we go inside? So I think that was exactly what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So just pretty unreal. The town is really interesting. Like there's a sea of candles out front of the university building. There's mm-hmm. black flags on the street, like where I normally have the banners that are like, you know, go to this museum or whatever. Those have all been replaced with black flags or black banners. But you would not know it. I bet if you polled 100 people on the street, 90 of them probably have no idea anything happened because there's just so many tourists that are here.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They wouldn't have any idea.
Yeah.
But certainly, like, when I got here on the 23rd, it was, like, the designated day of mourning.
Yeah.
And certainly the places that we went to, like, we went to a, what is the liquor called? I don't know. Like, essentially, like, yeah. We were walking around the Castle District, and we walked back down towards our apartment and passed this place that was, like a distillery.
Yeah.
And so we went in there, and there was only one other table. And I think it was a huge place, so I think normally there would probably be a little more bit people. More.
But it was also right before Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve being the big day here. So the 23rd, Rachel was here, we walked around a lot, it poured, it was cold.
It was cold and wet, yeah, it was pretty miserable. I mean, it's still beautiful, but like the weather outside was frightful, but we didn't want to just sit by the fire.
No, we got some delightful great pictures. We Vicky and I both swore there's a Christmas market up by the Prague Castle, and we did not find it. Now, maybe it was closed because of the day of mourning. Maybe it was closed because right before Christmas. Maybe we just didn't find it. All of those, very likely.
Mm-hmm.
But Vicky and I went to one Christmas market before Rachel came. We went to the Wenceslas Square. I'm probably not saying that right. We walked through the main one a little bit, but we wanted to hold off on that until Rachel was here. And we found another little tiny one that's just like a block from our place. And then yesterday, the 24th, we did more of them.
Mm-hmm.
Today we did a tour of, well, I guess we're going to talk about that in the next half because it's 20 minutes, or maybe we just wrap it up without a break in this one.
Sure, let's just push through. We're a little tired. You can probably tell in our voices. We're a little low energy.
So, I'm going to hit the break.
Okay. When we were here in Prague last time, we decided not to do kind of the Jewish cemetery or any of the Jewish tourism, and instead went for a really nice walk through the park because it was a beautiful day. And I was like, I don't really want to spend today inside in the museums, especially because we had several rainy days in a row. So we had just done several days of museums.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was like, today let's like go, you know, on an outside adventure instead.
Yeah. 10 years ago, you were still finishing up your book as well, weren't you?
Yeah. My book came out 7 years ago. So, yeah, I definitely, that was still like in progress, right. Process.
So Rachel has a book about young adult literature, yeah. And the Holocaust. So
Tolerance Discourse and Young Adult Holocaust Literature.
You were, I think, needing a little bit of a break as well.
Yeah. And it would I was definitely interested, but, you know, it wasn't sort of at the top of my list. But this time when we came back, I knew that I did want to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we booked a tour today on Christmas of the Jewish Quarter, and it ended up being really interesting. So yeah. It was well worth it. It was for Viator, is that right? Mm-hmm. The guide was a local Jewish guy. He's lived here forever, although I don't know if he's only lived in Prague, right? He spoke English and Russian. I mean, he had to learn Russian as a kid. And so he was really, you know, he's also a teacher. So, you know, he has a really good sort of way about him. He has a bunch of jokes and that kind of thing. So it was well worth it, I think, getting the tour. Because I wouldn't have gone to everywhere that we went, because we ended up going to 5 different synagogues. Yeah. Although one of the synagogues is now a Holocaust memorial. So, and some of them are museums of Jewish culture. And then some of them are still, you know, active.
I think only one of the ones we went into is still
active. That's true. One of the things that he did say today is that, you know, before the Holocaust, in Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia at that point, was one of the first countries taken over by the Nazis, right? And not taken over, not like aggressively, right? Instead, like annexed, essentially. Mm. By the Nazis, as opposed to, right, like World War II actually starts when they invade Poland, but there was no invasion of Czech Republic. So anyway, the Jews that were in Prague had a, you know, Jewish quarter that's been here forever, basically. Since the, what did we learn? Like
1200s? Century or something? Yeah.
But there were about 100,000 Jewish people here at that point, and now there are about 1,500. So
I think he said after the war there were only 1,500.
Yeah. So. And so you can imagine the need for synagogues precipitously dropped, but the buildings are still beautiful, and they're still in the Jewish quarter, and, you know, they're, like, being put to good use as, you know, museums and then a memorial as well.
One of the things that, like, struck home to me during that too is that he said when the Nazis were here, they had left the synagogues because they were going to be a Jewish museum to an extinct race.
Yeah, they were saving them and creating these propaganda museums that would, you know, continue to
reinforce their.
Yeah, reinforce the idea of, like, the Jews as an inferior race, right? And that was something that I didn't know about. Right. I'm just looking up. He also recommended a book called IBM and the Holocaust.
Oh, right. Before you jump out of that one, he sort of felt it indirectly was a positive for the history of things because so many other synagogues were destroyed. They didn't destroy these synagogues.
Right, exactly.
Because they were going to be part of this. So when they were defeated, they could be returned to, yeah, the Jewish people.
And, right, yeah, yeah, because, I mean, especially, like, so many of them in Germany are all destroyed on Kristallnacht, which is in November of 1938. The same thing doesn't happen here, right? That they preserve them in order to turn them into
propaganda machines.
I got really interesting kind of information about, you know, because I know a lot of Holocaust stuff, but I don't specifically know a lot about, like, Czechoslovakia and the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, last time we were here, we did go to Tiersen or Theresienstadt. I don't speak German, which was the concentration camp that existed here in the Czech Republic that was set up to be like a model for a propaganda model for the Red Cross. So they would send the Red Cross in and say, you know, this is...
Look, this isn't that bad.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, after the Red Cross came, they would just clear out everyone and send them to the other death camps. So, yeah.
So tour was well worth it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting too how like some of them were, two of them were like connected, well through the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the Jewish cemetery has been there, you know, as long as the Jewish quarter has. So they would bury. They would just build layers on top of of graves, like 2 feet of dirt, and then another set of graves.
Yeah, he said
when it got full.
They think there's 12 layers of graves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty fascinating. And so when you see pictures of it, and we'll probably post a picture from the cemetery, and maybe one from the Spanish.
And that was all synagogue. From like the 1300s to the 1800s, though.
Yeah, so no one's been buried there in the last couple hundred years. But yeah, it's really interesting. So, I mean, if you're, you know, at all interested sort of in histories that you may not know as much about, like I would recommend.
Well worth it.
One of these tours. It was 3 hours.
Yeah. Peter from Prague.
PeterFromPrague.com. Yep, that's his website.
You probably booked directly to him through that, too.
So that was one of the things that we did. The opposite of Christmas things, right? We did so many Christmas things, and then we took Christmas to do, or at least part of Christmas to do non-Christmassy things.
Yeah, very much so.
Specifically. I was very surprised at how full the tour was. I thought because it was Christmas that it wouldn't be quite as popular, but it was packed.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the primary thing we were coming here for was to go to the Christmas markets. Vicky and I made it to 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can hear this. The restaurant downstairs is wheeling around a dumpster or
something. Probably not, which is good.
Yeah. We went to one without Rachel. We went to the main one in Old Town Square. We went to a little tiny one that's near some sort of book sculpture that's really popular on Instagram. There was a huge line of people for every day.
That's so funny. I mean, because it is a cool book sculpture, but like, I don't know. I think that I would probably see just as good of pictures on the internet because it's not very big. I mean, it's cool, but.
But I'm not going to wait like 2 hours to take a picture of it.
Definitely not.
So it was very strange.
Right
there, another little market.
Right. I was going to say we did go and see other impressive books though, because we went up to the library at the monastery.
Strahov.
Monastery.
Yeah.
Which we only got to be there for a little while because that was the day that I got in so late, and I really needed a nap because, like I said, I got up at 2:45. So we made it up to the monastery late. So we really only got to see the library, but. And the Cabinet of Curiosities, and there were a bunch of globes. It was really cool. Like, that's also a thing that I think would be worth doing.
Yeah, I'm glad we said that.
I would have explored, you know, the complex, the monastery complex more if I had an opportunity, but.
The St. Norbert monastery complex or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some beer there because there's a brewery restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we walked through the Prague Castle, failing to find another market there, but saw some beautiful areas, things we didn't see last time we were here, because we went through the Golden Row.
Yeah. Which was all closed up for the most part, but it was still cool to see all the houses. And there was no one there, so, you know, it wasn't like crowds of people, so you couldn't take pictures.
Right.
You could take all the pictures you wanted because it was cold and wet and rainy.
Uh-huh, yeah. And then after getting some kolache, some traditional Czech pastries, or I guess buns.
Mm-hmm.
They're yeasted.
Yeah, they are buns. Yeah, because the ones we had today were great. They were a little flatter, so they were almost like Danishes, you know, kind of.
Yeah. We came home, took a little rest, and then we went back out to, I guess, Mala Strada, which is basically the lesser town or smaller town.
Which is on the other side of the river.
We watched Charles Bridge. Charles Bridge, both times we've been here. A little underwhelmed.
You get really good pictures from it, though. Like, the pictures of the castle and stuff that you can get are really good. So, and I do think they're better from the Charles Bridge than they are from the other one.
Yeah.
So, it's worth it for that.
It's worth it for the pictures, but it's very crowded.
Yeah.
But at the end of that, like in the little lesser town or small town, there's another market there. Mm-hmm. So, we went to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit our 5, I think, right? Is that the Old Town Square, the little one?
We went to the one in the Republic Square, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is over by, there's a theater, a really, really lovely, like, Art Nouveau building that's over there that we went to. We went to more things at last time. Like I said, we were here longer last time. We might have actually been here for 9 days.
Really?
Okay. Like, we were here for quite a while, which is why we got to do so many different things.
It's also right next to the Palladium Mall, which will be bigger on maps. that was a pretty small one, but it was pretty good. Did you have a favorite of them?
Well, we haven't really talked as much about the Old Town Square one. That's the biggest one for sure. Yeah. That's the only one we ate, like, real food at.
Yeah.
The food at the one in the Lesser Town actually looked pretty interesting today.
Yeah, that was actually the same. It looked the same as what was up on Wenceslas Square.
Oh, okay.
But it looked better there, if that makes sense. It just looked warmer and, I want to say, juicier.
Okay.
This stuff looked a little piles and drier or something, which is why I think I was like not as into
eating it today, which is fine. Yeah. But yeah, so the one in the Old Town Square, which is where the astronomical clock is, and, just as kind of where we sat there and people watched a couple times last time we were here. But it's definitely, I think that one was my favorite just because there was...
Yeah, there's so much more.
There was a lot more going on.
We bought some stuff. Mm-hmm. We built some shops. We bought some foods. We wandered around. We got lost. We failed to find a recommended
mulled wine place.
Yeah.
We did drink plenty of mulled wine, though. Yeah. We didn't get any beers at the Christmas markets, although they do sell those, too. But mulled wine is more the...
Well, when it's cold, it's nicer.
Yeah, definitely. But we got a sausage there one day, and we got potato chips there today. Freshly made potato chips. They were great. Mm-hmm. And so, I think if you want to just kind of see people hanging out, if you want to see people's happy dogs, there's a lot of happy dogs in Prague.
A lot of happy dogs in Prague, yeah.
And as my mom pointed out, they don't bark. I've seen one dog barking here so far. I've seen probably 50 dogs.
Oh, way more than 50 dogs, probably.
And I've seen, like, one bark.
Yeah.
So, good on you, Prague dogs.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, that's our Prague Christmas episode. Next, tomorrow morning, we're getting up bright and early. Not ridiculously early, but
not 2:45.
we're jumping on a train to go to Budapest. And we're
a city
see
that
some
none
wine.
Of us have been to yet. Yeah, so that's exciting. My mom had not been to Prague, but obviously Matt and I have referenced a little bit our previous trip. But this is all going to be new. So there's more markets in the future. If you want to go to YouTube, you can watch people actually really actively compare Christmas markets.
Yeah.
We are only comparing some Christmas markets.
And somewhat poorly at that, probably.
That's fine. I mean,
we're not professionals.
We don't have video and stuff. It's cool. The professional YouTubers with the video, it gives you a little bit better idea. But we are talking about, maybe Finland and Estonia for Christmas markets.
Yeah, I know. Based on one of those.
Yeah.
I was going to make one other comment about something. I don't know
Budapest.
What it is.
Budapest. We're going for baths, and we're going for a cruise, and we're...
Just going to walk around, right?
Going to just explore the city. We don't have a whole lot on our agenda, which is kind of... Well, we have a couple of things, but we don't have... We're not packed, so we can really figure out what seems like fun to do.
Yeah. Oh, we also, Rachel's mom and I saw La Boheme at the State Opera Theater. Accidentally went to the wrong theater. Made it in late, but they let us sit in the nosebleed seats until intermission. It was beautiful, beautiful theater. It was fun. The story, La Boheme, hadn't seen it before. Kind of dumb, but very enjoyable. The production was fantastic. Would recommend seeing some sort of performance here.
I think definitely, like, Prague is really known for classical music and for, performances, right? There's a ton of theaters all around town, even in, like, the Spanish synagogue that we were in today, which is still an active synagogue, actually, but they have musical performances that you can buy tickets for. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you come, definitely look. And look, I mean, I should have... Actually, even 6 months ago, the Nutcracker was sold out. But, like, you can get last minute tickets. You know, they were giving last minute tickets for Christmas concert, not giving them, selling last minute tickets for Christmas concerts, like pretty much every day. We just didn't make it to one this time, but I would certainly go to at least one of the theaters because they're so beautiful.
And just make time to walk around. Prague is just a museum in itself.
It
in
is,
the Old Town area.
And it's such an easy city to walk around. Like, it's flat. I mean, if you walk up the hill to the castle, that's a hill. But, like, for the most part, you know, it's really, and it's compact.
Yeah.
Like, you can get around the Old Town and most of the like, sort of five boroughs that are here.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
very
Praha
easily.
One, right?
Praha Not One, yeah.
Just Old Town. That's only one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a big walking city. Like, I would never get one of those hop-on, hop-off bus tours here. That just seems like...
waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did, because we were running late to the State Theater, we jumped at a Bolt, or at an Uber, to try to get there. And it would have been way easier. It would have taken just as long to walk, but it was raining, so we didn't really want to walk. But it would have been way faster, like half as fast, if we would have taken the transit.
The subway, so. Yeah. Yeah, the trams and the subway are also really... easy. And I think now that there's apps for it, it's much less confusing. Yeah, you just do have to remember to activate your ticket. And I think that's because there's not anywhere to scan it. And so, and I think if it takes a minute or so to activate it, so you can't just hit activate right when the conductor is coming up to you. Now we hit activate right as the tram came up to us.
Yeah.
But no one ever checked our tickets. But I think we still would have been like, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of like an aside. But like, I think tap and apps for public transit made everything so much easier, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't actually take any public transit in Amsterdam this time, other than the train from the airport to town. But just being able to do the tap on, tap off, or the app, so you don't have to like stand around and figure out a different language at the machine, and you know, you're not in Rome and needing pennies.
I'm sure that doesn't work anymore. Like,
no,
that.
I'm sure it doesn't anymore. I freaking hope so. 21 years later, that you still don't need pennies. Anyway, that's a different story.
All right, well, let's wrap it.
Yep,
we're gonna be on a train, and then we're gonna be in Budapest, and then we'll be talking to you again at some point.
Yep,
all right.
Indeed.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Rein It In, Matt and Rachel. You can check us out on Instagram at reinitin_podcast or Facebook at reinitinpodcast. We encourage you to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, or you can listen direct at anchor.fm/reinitin. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.